Okay, I want you to close your eyes for a second, unless you're driving, of course, and picture the absolute worst smelling thing you can possibly imagine.
That is a dangerous way to start a conversation.
Bear with me. I'm talking about standing in front of a literal mountain of wet hog manure,
Okay.
or maybe a steaming pile of sewage sludge just baking in the July sun, or, rotting corn stalks that have been sitting there for months turning into this slimy mess.
It's a vivid image. And unfortunately, for a lot of people in agriculture or waste management, that isn't just a gross image, it's Tuesday.
Exactly. And normally, when society looks at that mountain of, let's call it biomass to be polite,
Right.
we see a problem. We see a liability. We think, how fast can I bury this, burn this, or just hide this so the neighbors don't call the EPA on me?
That is the standard operating procedure. Dig a hole, toss it in, and try to forget about it. It's a cost center.
But today, we are looking at a stack of documents that suggests we have been looking at this pile of gross stuff all wrong. We are doing a deep dive into the world of earth care gasification systems. We've got technical brochures, operational overviews, and data sheets provided by Renewable Energy Consultants, LLC.
Specifically focusing on insights from a gentleman named Bob Rice.
Right, and the promise contained in these documents is pretty audacious.
It is.
The claim is that they can take that exact mountain of problem material and turn it into not just one, but two high-value revenue streams.
And this is the part that gets me.
And this is the part that made me stop and reread the page. They claim to do it while virtually eliminating the smell.
Which, if true, changes the game for anyone living downwind of a dairy farm or a water treatment plant.
It really does. So our mission today is to figure out if this is too good to be true. We need to unpack the actual chemistry of gasification versus just burning stuff. We need to understand the economics. How do you turn disposal cost into a profit center? And honestly, I want to know what ecochar is because these documents treat it like it's gold dust.
It's definitely not gold dust, but in the world of soil science, it might actually be worth more in the long run.
So let's get into it. The core of this technology is gasification. Now, I'll be honest, when I see thermal process and 1500 degrees, my brain just screams incinerator. We're just burning trash, right?
That is the most common misconception, and it's a really crucial distinction. If you take nothing else away from this deep dive, it's this: gasification is not incineration.
Okay, convince me. What's the difference?
It all comes down to oxygen.
Oxygen.
Incineration is combustion. You have fuel, you add plenty of air, so lots of oxygen, you light a match, and you burn it until it's ash. It's a rapid, uncontrolled oxidation.
Right, like a bonfire.
Exactly like a bonfire. You're just releasing energy as fast as you possibly can.
Okay.
Gasification is different because it happens in an oxygen-starved environment.
Oxygen starved. So we're heating it up, but we aren't letting it catch fire in the traditional sense.
Precisely. The documents explain that the earth care system heats these carbon-based fuels, your manure, wood chips, sludge too, between 1,000 and 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
But because they restrict the oxygen, the material doesn't just burn to ash. Instead, it gets stressed. It breaks down thermally.
So it's almost like you're roasting the chemicals out of it.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
You are forcing the solid material to release its volatile compounds. This creates a gas.
A gas called syngas. I've seen that term.
Yes, syngas. It's primarily carbon monoxide, CO, and some hydrogen. Now, here's the cool part. In a normal fire, that gas would just burn up instantly as flame.
Right.
But here, the system captures that gas. That syngas is the fuel.
So step one is turning solid poop into flammable gas.
Correct. Then comes step two. The system uses something called a thermal oxidizer.
A thermal what?
Oxidizer. This is where they finally add a controlled amount of air to combust that syngas.
Huh?
They convert the carbon monoxide into carbon dioxide, CO2, and that reaction releases a massive amount of heat.
So it's a two-stage process. Roast it to get the gas, then burn the gas to get the heat.
Exactly. And because it's so controlled, it's much, much cleaner. The documents highlight that this process meets regulatory requirements that open burning or even standard incineration just can't touch.
You aren't just spewing uncontrolled particulates into the sky.
No, it's an engineered chemical reaction, not a bonfire.
That distinction matters, especially for permits. If you walk into a town council meeting and say incinerator, people panic.
Absolutely.
But if you explain this process, it's a whole different conversation. All right, so let's talk about what we can actually shove into this machine, the feedstock, as they call it.
The versatility is honestly surprising. Usually these systems are picky, wood chips only or dry cardboard only, but the EarthCare list is Well, it's extensive.
I was reading through it and it felt like a list of things you'd try very hard to avoid stepping in.
Pretty much, yeah.
We've got agricultural, waste poultry litter, dairy manure, hog manure, but then also crop residues like corn stover.
Which is huge, by the way. Corn stover, the stalks and leaves left over after harvest, is notoriously hard to manage. It's bulky, it doesn't break down easily, and it can harbor pests. Being able to gasify that is a big win for farmers.
Okay, but then the list goes industrial, food processing waste, distiller grains from ethanol plants.
Yep.
And then the one that always makes me wince, wastewater treatment plant biosolids.
A very polite euphemism for sewage sludge.
The worst of the worst.
But also the most problematic to get rid of. Municipalities pay a fortune to truck that stuff to landfills. It's heavy, it smells, nobody wants it.
So if you can process it on site,
you're solving a massive logistical headache. The system can even handle municipal solid waste, your everyday garbage, whether it's sorted or not.
I do have a logistical question, though. You mentioned corn stalks and sludge. Those are two very different textures.
Very different.
One is stringy and dry, the other is, well, it's sludge. How do you physically get wet, sticky manure into a 1,500-degree oven without, you know, opening the door and letting all the heat out?
That's where the engineering comes in. The source material describes a system of heavy-duty augers.
Like giant screws.
Exactly. Industrial screws that convey the material continuously into the gasifier. Because the material is packed into the auger tube, it creates a plug. And that plug essentially seals the chamber so no oxygen gets in while pushing the fresh waste into the heat.
So it's automated.
Completely.
Yeah.
You don't have a guy with a shovel standing next to a blast furnace. The augers do the work.
Okay, so we've got the machine. We're feeding in the gross stuff. We're roasting it into syngas. Now let's talk about the payoff.
Wow.
Energy. The documents mention a menu of options.
Right. It's not just here's some electricity.
Yeah.
This is smart business. Because not every facility needs electricity. If you're a factory or a food processing plant, you might need steam. You might need chilling power for refrigeration.
So it's flexible.
The EarthCare system is flexible. It can output heat, steam, chilling, or electricity via turbine.
But there was one application in the notes that really stood out to me because it seemed to solve a secondary problem. The drying application.
Yes. This is a massive one for agriculture.
Walk me through that. Why is drying such a big deal?
Think about weight. If you have wet distiller grains or fresh manure, it is mostly water.
Right.
And water is heavy. So if you have to truck that waste away to a landfill or another farm, you are paying diesel costs to transport water.
You're paying by the ton to move moisture.
Exactly. So inefficient. The documents describe using the thermal energy from the gasifier, the heat we just created, to dry the incoming feedstock or other products.
So you take a heavy wet liability, dry it out on site using your own energy.
And suddenly it's a lightweight commodity.
So you use the energy from the waste to make the waste easier to manage.
It's a closed loop. Or you dry it out so it becomes a better fuel for the gasifier itself. Wet stuff doesn't gasify well. Dry stuff does. So the system can self-sustain.
That's clever. And for those who do want electricity, I saw mentions of steam turbine generator systems and ORC hot water generator systems.
ORC stands for Organic Rankine Cycle. Without getting too bogged down in the physics.
Armies don't.
It's just a very efficient way to turn low to medium grade heat into electricity. It means you can squeeze power out of the system, even if you aren't running at massive industrial pressures.
Okay, so revenue stream number one is energy, whether that's saving money on your own heating bill, drying your product, or selling power back to the grid. But the documents make a huge deal about the other thing that comes out of the machine.
The EcoChar.
Right,
yeah.
EcoChar. They've even trademarked the name. Now, help me out here. If I burn wood in my fireplace, I get ash.
Right.
If I gasify manure, I get char. What is the difference? Isn't it just the leftover burnt bits?
Chemically, they are very, very different. And this is where that oxygen-starved part matters again.
Move on.
When you burn something completely incineration, you are converting all the organic carbon into CO2 gas. What's left, the ash, is just the minerals.
Calcium, potassium, that sort of thing.
Exactly. It's gray, powdery stuff. It's mineral salts.
Okay.
But in gasification, we stop the process before the carbon is fully consumed. We drive off the volatile matter, the gases, but we leave behind the fixed carbon.
That's the EcoChar.
That is the EcoChar. It's a solid carbon skeleton of the original material.
So it's like a carbon sponge.
That is the perfect analogy. The expert notes describe it as having enormous surface area.
Yeah.
If you looked at a piece of ecochar under a microscope, it looked like a honeycomb. It's just full of pores.
And why do we care about porous rocks?
Because those pores are homes.
Mm.
They're homes for soil microbes, bacteria, fungi. But more importantly, the documents mention it has high charged particles.
Charged like a battery.
Charged like a magnet. It attracts nutrients and moisture. So if you put this in sandy soil, it holds on to water so the plants don't dry out.
And in heavy clay.
It adds aeration. And it holds on to nitrogen and phosphorus so they don't wash away in the rain.
So instead of fertilizer running off into the river, it gets stuck in the char sponge until the plant needs it.
Exactly. It's a soil amendment. But there is a safety aspect here that we really need to highlight. This was the part that blew my mind.
The E. coli thing?
Yes. If you take raw cow manure and spread it on a field, which happens all the time, you are risking pathogen runoff. E. coli, salmonella.
It's a huge food safety risk. Spinach recalls happen because of this.
The EarthCare documents are very explicit. Because the material is baked at up to 1500 degrees with a significant retention time, the ecochar is pathogen-free.
So it's sterile.
It is sterile.
That's a massive aha moment. You're taking a biohazard and turning it into a sterile, beneficial product.
And not just bacteria. The heat destroys growth hormones and antibiotic residues.
Wait, really? Because that's a huge issue in modern farming, antibiotics passing through the animal and into the soil.
It's a major concern for antibiotic resistance. But at these temperatures, those complex molecules just break apart. So the ecochar is clean, it's safe to handle.
So you have a product that improves soil health, holds water, increases crop yield, and is totally safe.
And sequesters carbon.
Explain that part. Carbon negative is a buzzword we hear a lot. How does burning poop make you carbon negative?
It's a two-step logic. First, think about what happens if you don't gasify that manure. It sits in a lagoon. It rots.
And releases methane.
And methane is a greenhouse gas, roughly 80 times more potent than CO2 in the short term. By gasifying the waste immediately, you prevent that methane from ever forming.
So you're stopping the emissions at the source.
That's a huge win right there.
Okay, that's avoidance.
But then look at the ecochar, that fixed carbon we talked about. That carbon came from the plants the animal ate, which came from the air. By turning it into char and burying it in the soil, you are locking that carbon into the ground.
For how long?
For hundreds, if not thousands of years, you're putting the carbon back in geologic storage.
So you are actively removing carbon from the atmospheric cycle?
That's why they can claim it's carbon negative.
That makes sense. I also saw some other uses for the char besides just soil.
Filtration is a big one. Because it's like a magnet, it can bind heavy metals.
Hmm.
It can be used for water purification.
And one that caught my eye, animal bedding.
Specifically for poultry houses. You can use the char under the birds. It absorbs ammonia, which is terrible for bird health, and it reduces moisture.
Let me get this straight. You take the poultry litter, which is poop and sawdust,
right,
gasify it to heat the barn, create sterile ecochar, and then put that char back under the birds to keep them healthy.
It's the definition of a circular economy. Nothing is wasted.
It sounds almost too perfect. Is it complicated to run? I mean, this sounds like spaceship technology. Do I need a team of NASA engineers on my farm?
That was one of the first things I looked for in the operational notes. Complexity kills projects. But the documents say it requires only two operators.
Two people.
Two people. It's highly automated. The control systems handle the temperature, the airflow, the auger speeds. And crucially, Renewable Energy Consultants offers remote monitoring.
So Bob Rice and his team can look at the data from their office.
Right. They can track performance, troubleshoot issues, and see efficiency trends without having to fly a technician out every time a light blinks.
For a rural farm or a municipal plant, that support layer is essential.
It makes it approachable. You don't have to be a chemist to own one.
Exactly. Okay, so we've covered the science and the operations. Let's get down to brass tacks, the business case.
Mm-hmm.
Because saving the planet is great, but if it bankrupts the farm, nobody's going to do it.
The economics are fascinating because they completely flip the script on waste. Traditionally, waste is a cost.
Yeah.
You pay tipping fees to dump it at a landfill. You pay hauling costs.
It's just money bleeding out of the business.
Right.
Every truck leaving the farm is a bill.
With this system, step one is stop the bleeding. Eliminate those hauling and tipping fees. That's immediate savings. Step two, energy revenue. Either you stop buying electricity and gas, which is cost avoidance, or you sell the surplus back to the grid. Step three, ecochar revenue. This isn't just a byproduct. It's a commodity. You can sell it.
to other farmers, gardeners, filtration companies.
Exactly. And there was one more revenue stream that I thought was genius.
The tipping fees.
The tipping fees.
Yes. Getting paid to take other people's garbage.
If your system has the capacity, you can tell the neighboring farm or the local town, hey, don't drive 50 miles to the landfill. Bring your waste here. I'll charge you half of what the landfill charges.
So you become the local utility and the local waste management facility wrapped in one.
And you get free fuel for your machine. They pay you to bring you the fuel that you use to make products you sell.
That is diabolically smart.
It's efficient. It turns the whole economic model on its head.
Is this actually happening anywhere, or is this all just on paper?
Oh, it's real. The documents list several specific projects. There's a Georgia ethanol plant using it. There's a project in Ohio specifically dealing with swine manure.
And swine manure is tough stuff.
It is. There's also a municipal solid waste and cow manure project listed. And interestingly, a project in the Netherlands for swine and poultry manure.
The Netherlands has incredibly strict environmental laws.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If it can pass regulatory muster in the EU, that says a lot about the emissions control. Specifically that biofilter we mentioned earlier that scrubs the exhaust.
Right, keeping the air clean and minimizing the smell, which brings us full circle.
It does.
So taking a step back, we've looked at the tech, the chemistry, the money. When you look at this whole package from renewable energy consultants, what is the big takeaway from you?
For me, it's about a shift in mindset. We have spent the last century treating organic byproducts as something to be feared, something to hide.
Get it away from me.
Exactly. This technology suggests that waste is really just a resource we haven't processed yet. It's misplaced energy.
It's just fuel in the wrong format.
And by applying the right process gasification, we solve three problems at once. We solve the energy problem, the soil health problem, and the pollution problem. It's systemic.
It connects the dots. The farm feeds the soil feeds the crops feed the animals, and the waste powers the whole cycle.
It closes the loop, and it does it in a way that is economically viable, which is the key to adoption.
It's fascinating stuff. We started this deep dive talking about the grossest stuff imaginable, and we ended up talking about sterile, high-tech carbon sponges and profit margins.
That's the beauty of chemistry.
So here is my final thought for you listening. Next time you see a garbage truck rumbling down the street or you drive past a farm and catch that distinct aroma in the air, don't just roll up the window. Ask yourself this. Why are we still burying this stuff?
A good question.
If our waste can heat our homes, power our lights, and heal our soil, why isn't every farm and water treatment plant its own power station?
Yep.
What would our cities look like if we stopped treating waste as an end and started treating it as a beginning?
That is the multi-million dollar question.
Thanks for diving in with us today.
Always a pleasure.